Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you brought us here today. And Lord, thank you that we're encouraged in that name. Thank you, Lord, that we know that all power is in that name. And Lord, thank you so much that, again, that grace has been given to us, that we are praising that name Jesus this morning. Lord, we thank you again for that wonderful Savior. We thank you for that Lamb. And Lord, may we just magnify him today. Lord, may we grow in more knowledge of how much he loves us, how simple that story is. God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, Lord, I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you again for the encouragement to believe in that name. That name given among heaven, among all men under heaven, among whereby ye must be saved. Lord, let us just praise you in that name this morning. Lord, may we just glory in how much we are loved. And may we grow in that love and grow in that grace. And Lord, may the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost just be made known in this place. Lord, anoint your vessels. God, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to the book of Philippians. We'll begin reading in chapter 3. We'll begin there in verse 7. That's again Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, I thank God we've had quite a journey these past few Sundays. And what an invitation we know that he is giving us because of the Word of God into the knowledge of him. And we're talking about a knowledge, brothers and sisters, beyond that even of Savior, surpassing the sweetness of even the Jesus that we know as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is the invitation into the very heart of God. To knowing, praise God, his thoughts to us. I think of this as knowing the why and the how he does what he does for us. The Word of God says that our mind would be renewed, transformed, praise God, having the oneness, the very mind of Christ in us. That not only would we know, and praise God, we know the joy and the gladness of the Lord, but that we would also know the sorrow. And praise God, the sufferings. And as I was thinking about this, the only thing that I can really equate this to that is somewhat in our understanding is the knowing between a husband and a wife. And you see, the only one who even really begins to know me like that in this life is my wife. I think of how when you become one, you begin to know someone's uprising and downsetting. You begin to know really what makes them tick. But I want to get on with the understanding of that's exactly what the Lord is bringing out right here. He wants us to know him as a spouse. That word in verse 10, where it says, that I may know him. That word know in the Greek, its very meaning is the knowledge, the intimacy between a husband and a wife. Yep, Jesus is going to have a bride. I thank God that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That truly this again is the Lord's desire I want to really emphasize that. I'm thankful to God he's given us that desire. But this is his. He gives us the faith to believe him. I thank the Lord that again, this is his plan. This is his provision. This is his purpose. And praise be to God, he's given us the very power of his might. And that's what's encouraging you today. And if you're not encouraged today, that's what will encourage you today, is the power of his might to come into knowing what God wants you to know. My son is going to have a wife. Over and over throughout the Word of God, I've told you, I'm the father. And the father, praise God, is searching for a ready wife for his son. And as this says this very clearly in what we're reading here today, this is the one who is going to know him. To know him, not just know about him. I'm thankful that anybody would know about Jesus. But we're talking about the full purpose of God, to know him in the power of his resurrection. That full overcoming power that we rejoiced in a couple weeks ago. The very power that, praise God, raised him from the grave. The power that caused him to be made sin for us who knew no sin. That power that, praise the Lord, took him up to glory and sat him on the right hand of the Father. Now I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, that's the very power of his resurrection. That's the very power, as we rejoiced earlier, that lives in us. That's the very power that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. That's it. That's it. It's not you. It's not in your mental ability. Because you have to understand this. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. God help us. Especially men. It's a lifelong journey of getting over yourself. Let's just be honest. And ladies, you're not too far behind. We know this. It's a battle to understand that he's the all-sufficiency. And the wonderful thing about it is how beautiful that is. How beautiful it is to be confident and to trust in Jesus. And you trust in him because of his love. You have confidence in him because of his love. That's what it is. God so loved the world that he gave you his son. He gave you everything. He withheld nothing. As a child of God, the Word of God tells us that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There's nothing lacking in that life of Christ who lives in you. And I thank God for that strength and that power again of his resurrection. But see how quickly the Lord moved us on and to knowing him in the fellowship of his sufferings, suffering for his name's sake. Now a lot of times, and I mention this very, very gladly, I've suffered for Jesse's sake. Come on. Saw a lot of heads drop, and who's he talking to? The undue? The ones that I brought on myself? But see, even God says this, even when we believe not, he abides faithful. Do you know Romans 8:28 is still alive and working well today and will forever. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It doesn't say all things just kind of work together and you'll get by if you know God. It says they work together for your good that love God. I thank the Lord again for his faithfulness. But see, the evidence of this one, as we come to the conclusion here today, is the testimony of conformed to his death. Now, sometimes people will start to cast a lot of illusions when you read little things and don't really understand what God is laying out before us. But I'm going to nip it right in the blood, in the bud here today, and in the blood here today, that we could never know what Christ experienced in his death. You will never know that. Only he will ever know the death to be made sin. Only he will ever know what it is to be abandoned by the Father. You ever want your heart to be broken for Jesus? Really allow him to take you there to understand that he became sin for you. gladly. His visage marred more than any man, spit, ridiculed, torn, his blood poured out. And all the while, I know it was the joy that was set before him. The most beautiful smile that ever could be was under all of that caked blood and all of that torn flesh. Oh, Father, I'm going to bring many sons to glory. Oh, that's powerful. Oh, that's incredible. And oh, that's, again, our wonderful, loving Savior. But then, even in all that, there was a time that the Father, he looked away. He turned away from him. Abandoned, made alone, that, praise God, I will never know. He became alone so that I would never be separated from the love of God. I would never know anything but, praise the Lord, that undying, unending, unmerited love of God. Now, so what does this made conformable unto his death, what does it mean? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, that means yield your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I read that, and man, all I can think about is, that sounds a lot like Jesus. And you know what? That's exactly what conformed unto his death means. It means to be made like him. To be made like him. Brothers and sisters, there was an obedience in love that completely held and holds us. That's the same obedience in love, praise God, that put him on that cross for you. And the Lord will not have us come after him in anything but that same love. I can't come after God in my duty. I can't come after God in my works. I can't come after God in my goodness. I can only come after him in one thing, because he first loved me. It caused me to respond to him. I saw truly by his grace that he so loved that he gave that son for me. He so loved me that he gave everything for me. For you. And it's that great love that causes us to respond. That causes us to be obedient. As Christ so willingly and joyfully allowed the fulfilling of the word of God in his life. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. May we take the same power. That very power of his resurrection, the very power to enter into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ and be made like him into all the perfect and complete will of God. See, that's his very purpose. See, and you hear something like that, how in the world could anybody truly yield to all the perfect and complete will of God? Only by the power of God. Oh, amen. And brothers and sisters, we're in weakened flesh. You have to understand that. This is very, very weak. This flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with God. This flesh, you talk about ADD, it's got ADD all the time. It's distracted here and there with anything and everything but God. But see, that's just it, but God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. In again, what? The great love wherewith we are loved. He called us. He saved us. Hallelujah. And that but God will get it done. See, the mercies, oh, of the Lord endureth forever. And for the past 3 Sundays, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, we've been reading about this perfect and complete will of God. Matter of fact, right there in verse 9, you want to know what it is for your life, for my life, and be found in him. How simple, isn't it? Isn't the simplicity of the gospel just incredibly simple? and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Only found in his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Nothing remaining in our lives save Christ in me, the hope of glory. You think about what the word of the Father. I love that. Five different times in the word of God he says this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, the Father never says I'm pleased in man. He makes it very, very, very clear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Our highest calling, brothers and sisters, is to magnify his Son. He must increase, and I must decrease. From the very beginning, he made this very clear. And I thank God how Brother David even brought this out this morning. There was sweet little Abel. God had a plan. And God's plan was there for all men, even Cain. Yeah. And he didn't say, bring me the sweat of your brow. He didn't say, bring me the best that you can do. He didn't say, bring me all of your goodness, because see, God knew they didn't have any. He said, bring me the lamb. Bring me the lamb. That's all I want. Hallelujah. That's all I want to see is bring me the Lamb of God. Now, I thank God for this. I thank God that we can surrender to all the perfect and complete will that he has for us. That this is his good pleasure. That again, this is the Lord that does it. As it says in Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whew. I sit and I read something like that and my mind blows up. I think about how God put that on Brother Paul's heart. He was writing these things 30 years after he walked with the Lord. He was pressing. He was reaching. But it wasn't in himself. And he wasn't pressing and reaching in what he could do or the power of Paul's might, because Paul knew he didn't have any. It was pressing and reaching for more grace. I need more of the Lord in my life. I need more of him, praise God. I need to be more dependent upon him, more reliant upon him. As so beautifully we've been rejoicing so much, and it's meant so much to my heart, brothers and sisters. Paul gloried in his infirmities. He was so thankful to God for that. He was grateful to God. He finally realized those thorns in his life that he had prayed for years and years and years. God, take these from me. And the Lord spoke to him so sweetly, so clearly. Honey, if I took those thorns from your life, you would be magnified and not me. Don't you see? He wants a needy people. He wants people that no, they need him. He came to save the lost, the needy, praise God, the despised. He said, there's not many mighty, not many wise that will come after me. And let me tell you something, if you're here today and you think you're mighty or wise, God help you. Because as you go after God, you realize he's the only wise one and he's the only mighty one. Amen. Amen. Now, he died, and he became sin for us. And yet we die to this world, and praise be to God, we become a readied wife for him. I think of that transaction. I think about that proposal. I think about that offering, and I think about, oh, Lord, you're so good. Oh, my goodness, you talk about a reasonable service. The way he says thing, it takes my breath away. Oh, Lord, you're so lovely. You're so wonderful. I do want to praise the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. It's just because of him, to have more light upon light, to see how great he is. See, brothers and sisters, the Lamb's wife. See, a lot of people there, and I appreciate the zeal for God. I love people that love the Lord. love people like Apollos that God has so richly encouraged with the zeal. Some people that know so much of the truth, they don't have much of a zeal for God. My goodness. I sit here sometimes and, brothers, I'll have to get after you. You know, you could hold your wife's hand once in a while. Oh, but we can't do that in public. Come on. You see what I'm getting at a little bit? Let people know you love the Lord. It's okay. It's wonderful. It's not superficial. You're thankful. I wear a wedding ring to honor, praise God, and give thanks truly for my wife. How much more the wedding ring he's put upon me. And he said this very clearly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Has anybody ever seen that crown in your life? Huh? And it's not that you see the crown of my life because I get this Bible and I shake it in front of your face or I say, oh, look at me, look at my attendance coming to church. Oh, no. It's because of the joy of the Lord in your life. It's because, you know what, there's a peace. Yeah, we're all human. Sometimes we're a little up, a little down, or whatever, but you know what? As that joy of the Lord begins to take over your life, there becomes a consistency. You start to realize, you know what? I really don't have any bad days. Yeah, some days might be a little bit better than others, but you know, every day's a good day because it's one day closer to seeing Jesus. Oh, I thank God for eyes that are beginning to be focused upon Him. Aren't you so thankful? Aren't you grateful to God that again, in His faithfulness, you know what? He has afflicted you. He does. He starts to strip things out of your life, things that you were a little bit more reliant on at one time and maybe you could lean on and maybe you didn't even think you were going to lean on. And He said, the only thing you're going to lean on, honey, is me. I want you coming out of that wilderness and the only breast you're going to be leaning on is me. Sometimes He does it with people that are very close to us. And He does it because He's a merciful God. It's in His faithfulness, listen to that, that He has afflicted you. He's not sitting there with a bat to smack you. That's not what your God does. He's a God of love. And His ways are beyond finding out. And there might be a time He'll give you a sickness in your body. And you might have it right now. But you're learning to trust God. You're learning to trust your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're learning that I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. You're learning as you go along that if the Lord has allowed you to have a job taken away from you or a promotion you didn't have, He's your satisfaction, praise God. He is your provider. Oh, I thank God for this, brothers and sisters. Sure, we do heartily anything that God gives to us. We do it as unto the Lord. We want to give our best. Hallelujah. But I thank God it's the power of Him that works in me. I want to magnify Him. I don't want the glory to come to me. I want to say, Lord Jesus, this is because of You. And many times, brothers and sisters, it's not in how we're exalted in this life. It's how we're cast down. And this is the beauty of this scripture. This is the beauty of this, is we become like Him. This prosper and be in health thing, brothers and sisters, it's something that's deceiving a lot of people. Now, God may take certain ones and allow them to go in this world and maybe be exalted in certain things. If the Lord allows that in your life, magnify Him. Give Him the thanks. Let people know it's only because of Jesus. But praise the Lord as He does strip these things away. I'll tell you, as Brother Paul said, oh, I'm happy in these things. I glory in my infirmities because it's then that the power of Christ rests upon me. Oh, my. Brothers and sisters, do you bear in your body the marks of the Lord? Huh? Do you bear in your body the marks of the Lord? Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at some good soldiers here that endure the hardness. I love that. And let me tell you something. That's a privilege. Be thankful for that. Oh, praise God. He said, in due time, I'll exalt you after you suffered a while. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something. You don't need to go out there and try to suffer. That's really stupid. You go on with the Lord. You allow that word of his grace to be ministered to you. He'll bring it. He'll take you through the land, and he'll bring these giants specifically appointed for that time. You talk about appointments. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, isn't this going to be precious? Let's watch old so-and-so do. Oh, and they're going to go over here. Oh, they're walking through the giants in the land. That's what this is. That's what this is. Now, brothers and sisters, remember this as we go today. A life conformed to his death is a life that'll be ready to be offered. And that's the truth. A life that dies daily is the life that's going to be ready to be raised. Jesus Christ, he cried the most beautiful words, T-L-E-O. It is finished. Isn't that wonderful? It is finished. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. He's given that same cry to us. And yes, it's right there in Brother Paul as he said, I have finished, oh my goodness. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And as the Word of God says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, oh, that's the judge I got. How about you? The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And you know what? I glory for Paul. I'm so thankful for Paul. And I'm thankful for that brother. But I'm so grateful to God by the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't end that right there, did he? He didn't say, oh, no, just for me. He said, and to all them also that love my appearing. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. It's a privilege to be made conformable unto his death. It's wonderful, and don't you be afraid of those sufferings. As Brother Paul said, happy am I when those infirmities come upon my life. And I pray to God that we will embrace them as the most precious things to us. Glory, hallelujah, in those thorns that you have in your life. Thank God for them because it what puts you on your knees. Thank God for a need that you know that you have that keeps you coming to church. Thanks be to God that I know that I haven't arrived yet. That if I'm drawing breath, there's more growing for me. And it's going to be one way. It's going to be like him. And at the end, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. Let's never forget, if by any means. There was a goal for the whole purpose of this. There's a wrap-up that's coming that's never going to end. He said, if by any means I might attain to that out-resurrection. Let's stand and praise him. Let's go ahead. It's all right. Come on, stand and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Every head is bowed. We thank the Lord again for this time. And Lord, we thank you again. It's you. And Lord, we just want to again magnify only you. And Lord, it's a sweet time that you're the head and we're this little portion of your body. And Lord, thank you again for your goodness to us, that we know that you are alive and we know that you're real. And Lord, by faith, oh, thank God, we praise and give thanks to a risen Savior. Lord, thank you that you were made apparent today. And Lord, may people know that, again, we're Christians because of our love one for another. And Lord, as we go and you give us food this morning, we give you thanks for it. Lord, this fellowship and this time that we gather in the basement, Lord, we thank you again that you've prepared it. And Lord, may our fellowship continue in the gospel of Christ. And Lord, may all feel so welcome, Lord, because this is yours. And you said it's yours, and hallelujah, it's mine. Lord, thank you again that this is an open communion we're about to receive. And Lord, thank you again that it's your blood and your body that was given so freely, that we're going to do this in remembrance of you. And thank you, Lord, that someday we will be with you, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, that we'll see you face to face, Lord God. And again, we thank you for the groaning and the aching that's coming upon the people. And it's not, again, that we're looking at our suffering. We're groaning and aching because we want to see Jesus. And Lord, thank you again for this and the reality of it all, that you give us this time to come together to praise your name. You're a marvelous and a merciful God, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.